step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Who are safer drivers, men or women? Well, according to a new survey, 55% of adults feel that women are most responsible for minor fender benders, while 78% blame men for most fatal crashes. Please note that the percentages in these pie graphs do not add up to 100% because the math was done by a woman. For those of you hissing at that joke, it should be noted that that joke was written by a woman. So now you don't know what the hell to do, do you?
Good morning. It is Tuesday, May the 30th, and this is The True Conservative. Welcome to all the butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers out there. I'm Ron, your host, and the only true conservative in the United States today. So today, after the Star Spangled Banner and the Serenity Prayer, we will have No Free Lunch, The Rape of the Mind, Dismissive and Mocking, and the Medal of Honor Ceremony. All that and more when I get back. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Thank you. And now, There's No Free Lunch, 250 Economic Truths by David Bahnsen. Quote, as it turns out, our capitalist age is generally not an age of discipline. Far from it. Our society, in most respects, is a study in unbounded appetite. Our chief public health problem is obesity. Our foremost social pathologies result from an absence of sexual restraint and personal responsibility. Our popular culture, much of the time, is a diabolical mix of Babylonian decadence and Philistine vulgarity. And our public life is a gluttonous feast upon the flesh of the future. We use more than we need, spend more than we have, and borrow more than we can pay. For all of our immense wealth, we somehow manage to live far beyond our means. In fact, it is almost fair to say that we lack for nothing except discipline. Yuval Levine, unquote. No proponent of free enterprise can ever presume the sufficiency of the market in restraining carnal appetites. There are character traits that humans to flourish. Integrity, discipline, patience, humility, delayed gratification, and the absence of those character traits goes a long way to undermining human flourishing. The case for free enterprise is not that it assures us of character. Rather, good character facilitates our efforts in free enterprise. Good character is rewarded by free enterprise. And just as lack of freedom undermines the quest for character, so a lack of character undermines our efforts in a free economy. The free and virtuous society, both free and virtuous, must be our aim. And that was No Free Lunch by David Bahnsen. Back in a minute. Thank you. Who is the true conservative? He knows that the government has no rights. He is religious. He is patriotic and uses common sense. He makes judgments, refuses to speculate, speaks clearly and definitively, and is not afraid to say no. He's open-minded, asking why rather than why not. He is consistent, credible, and influential, not ashamed of his existence, unafraid to learn or correct his mistakes. He is a normal American. Back in a minute. Thank you. What are the true conservative suggested political priorities? Number one, the abolition of abortion throughout the land. Number two, make nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons obsolete. Number three, immediate decertification of all public employee unions. Four, the immediate assignment of criminal and civil liabilities to all government regulators. Number five, the immediate repeal of the so-called Patriot Act. Number six, the immediate repeal of all emergency dictator laws. Number seven, the reinstatement of writs of outlawry. Eight, government-sponsored recalls, ballot initiatives, and referendums. Nine, a flexible minimum wage. 10, means-tested health care. 11, the immediate and permanent prohibition of investment banking by any office holder. Back in a minute. Thank you. What are the true conservative cultural priorities? Bring back hierarchy. Bring back the admiration of intelligence, morality, and beauty. Bring back single-income households, integration, parenting, the primacy of existence, certainty of knowledge, and universal rights and wrongs. Bring back principled behavior, masculinity and femininity. Bring back Adam 12, John F. Kennedy, the gold standard, pre-HMO medical care, and nonprofit news. Bring back civil service, the term stupid question, arguments and fights, the cultural influence of the church and the Boy Scouts. Bring back the influence of social organizations such as the Lions Club and the Rotary Club. Bring back bowling. Back in a minute. Thank you. This is a little bit from Fox News, and it's about President Biden.
Take a look at this. President Biden actually mocked reporters after they questioned him on the debt ceiling deal. Watch.
Talk to me.
Mr. President, what would you tell them?
I'm not going to tell you. You think it'd help me get it passed?
Well, who got the better deal?
You think it's going to help me get it passed? You guys, you realize you're not in the real world.
Where are you on the idea of President pardoning Trump?
And so he walks away. So anyways, the headline of this on YouTube is condescending and dismissive. So, and it immediately jumped into my mind when it says condescending and dismissive, that what is the, when you refer to him as being condescending and dismissive, what's the idea here? The idea is to avoid criticism. President Biden would have done better if he would have told them, come out and said, your questions are stupid. I don't answer stupid questions. This is another reason why I say bring back the stupid question. Not all questions are worth answering. And the press corps has a tendency to ask stupid questions. And they do it precisely to put people under pressure. No other reason than that. So instead of coming out and saying those are stupid questions, which is really what he should do, he acts condescending and dismissive because they're stupid questions. He has every reason to, because those are some stupid questions. There's no doubt about it. And I don't like President Biden. I don't like his personality. I don't like his character, but I don't know that he has any positive character traits at all. He's got I can understand why some people might like his personality because he has this kind of, everyday Joe kind of quality about him. But I don't happen to like it because it's kind of hard to sell. You spent 30 years in the Senate and you got a huge home or maybe two or three huge homes and then try to claim that you're just an average guy. That doesn't really sell with me. So, but I definitely don't like his character. He lied his way to the White House. So, but even that, having said all that, I understand where President Biden is coming from. The press corps asks some pretty stupid questions. And so they deserve to be treated in a dismissive and mocking way. Back in a minute. Thank you, thank you. And now, the rape of the mind, the loss of verifiable reality. Delusion we may thus tentatively define as the loss of an independent, verifiable reality with a consequent relapse into a more primitive state of awareness. Just as a young woman we spoke about earlier began to believe in and suffer from her headaches, so the man who sells his private fantasy first as a rumor and then as a factual truth gradually loses his awareness that his initial statements were in fact deceits, and his delusion becomes a kind of permanent petrification of his original primitive wishful thinking. There are several factors which promote deluded thinking. Retrogression and primitivization may occur as a result of physical disease, particularly diseases of the brain, and it is with this type of delusions that psychiatrists deal. Many brain diseases put out of operation the brain cortex, the organ which developed last in the evolutionary process and which makes us aware and controls our thinking. When this disturbance of function happens, genetically older types of brain functioning have to take over. Most of the causes of delusions are not purely organic, however. The same effect of regression may be produced by hypnosis and mass hypnosis, which, by dislocating the higher forms of alert consciousness, reduce the subject to the primitive stage of collective participation and of oneness experience. If awareness and reality confrontation become rigid and automatic, if man does not look for alert and repeated verifications of what he finds in the world, he may develop delusions, ideas not adapted to the reality situation. Apparently, the human being requires constant confrontation and verification with various aspects of reality if he is to remain alive and alert. When experience is petrified into dogma, the dogma itself stands in the way of new verification and of new truth. The delusion of a nation that calls itself the chosen country makes it harder for that nation to collaborate with other nations. How deeply involved the process of thought control is with the general formation of ideas in our time can be shown by the following experience. After the First World War, I made the acquaintance of a German philosopher dedicated to the idealistic philosophy of his country. Germany went through a creative phase. New ideas arose of fraternity and world peace. Germany, the defeated country, would show its particular spiritual power. During our vacations, we walked together through the sunny mountains of Ticino and devoted our philosophical conversation to the eternal yearnings of mankind for harmony and friendship. We became friends and wrote to each other about our mutual work till a shadow of totalitarianism came over his country. At first, he was skeptical and even critical about Nazism. Our correspondence diminished, and when he gradually became he became a part of the party. The final mental cleavage followed. I never heard about him anymore. So many philosophers surrender their theoretical thinking under the impact of powerful mass emotions. The reason lies not only in anxiety and submissiveness. It is a much deeper emotional process. People want to speak the language of their country and fatherland. In order to breathe, they have to identify with the ideological cliches of their surroundings. Spiritually, they cannot stand alone. Stefan Zweig wrote during the First World War that his inner process of speaking along with the chauvinistic voices around him was experienced by him as a deep inner conflict. I did not have the will anymore to be just to the others, unquote. And that was The Rape of the Mind by Joost Mierlo, M.D. Thank you, thank you. And now another Medal of Honor ceremony from President Obama giving the Medal of Honor to Staff Sergeant Salvatore Giunta.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, in whom we place our trust, we invite your holy presence as we gather as a nation to honor the extraordinary actions above and beyond the call of duty rendered by Staff Sergeant Salvatore Giunta, an American soldier, patriot, and hero. Our hearts forever resonate with the noble theme of heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. May our remembrance of Sal's combat actions 3 years ago in Afghanistan's Korangal Valley inspire all Americans with great pride and humility that we have selfless warriors like Sal living among us today. As we hear the account of his heroic actions on 25 October 2007, may we also remember that all of our armed forces and those who stand in harm's way across the world today. Through the narrative of Sal's courageous actions against the enemy and his selfless devotion to rescue a fallen comrade, may we all recommit ourselves to sacrificial and selfless service for our families and our fellow citizens. Calls our reflection on the holy union forged among soldiers during combat to inspire renewed unity in our own land, especially during times of crisis and conflict. As we celebrate this special day with Sal's wife, Jen, his parents, Stephen and Rosemary, his brother, Mario, his sister, Katie, may we remember in prayer all military families who await the safe return home of their loved ones. And finally, as we pause to remember the many freedoms we enjoy as a nation, let us never to give thanks more than we do right now to those especially who paid the glorious liberty with which we enjoy through their very blood, sweat, and tears. This we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Good afternoon, everybody. Please be seated. On behalf of Michelle and myself, welcome to the White House. And thank you, Chaplain Carver, for that beautiful invocation. Of all the privileges that come with serving as President of the United States, I have none greater than serving as Commander-in-Chief of the finest military that the world has ever known. And of all the military decorations that a president and a nation can bestow, there is none higher than the Medal of Honor. Now, today is particularly special. Since the end of the Vietnam War, the Medal of Honor has been awarded 9 times for conspicuous gallantry in an ongoing or recent conflict. And sadly, our nation has been unable to present this decoration to the recipients themselves because each gave his life, his last full measure of devotion for our country. Indeed, as president, I've presented the Medal of Honor 3 times, and each time to the families of a fallen hero. Today, therefore, marks the first time in nearly 40 years that the recipient of the Medal of Honor for an ongoing conflict has been able to come to the White House and accept this recognition in person. It is my privilege to present our nation's highest military decoration, the Medal of Honor, to a soldier as humble as he is heroic, Staff Sergeant Salvatore A. Giunta. Now, I'm going to go off script here for a second and just say, I really like this guy. I think anybody, you know, we all just get a sense of people and who they are. And when you meet Sal and you meet his family, you are just absolutely convinced that this is what America's all about. And it just makes you proud. And so this is a joyous occasion for me, something that I have been looking forward to. Yeah, the Medal of Honor reflects the gratitude of an entire nation. So we are also joined here today by several members of Congress, including both senators and several representatives from Staff Sergeant Giunta's home state of Iowa. We are also joined by leaders from across my administration and the Department of Defense, including the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen. Where's Mike? There he is right there. Army Secretary John McHugh, and Chief of Staff of the Army, General George Casey. We are especially honored to be joined by Staff Sergeant Giunta's fellow soldiers, his teammates and brothers from Battle Company, 2nd of the 503rd of the 173rd Airborne Brigade, and several members of that rarest of fraternities that now welcomes him into its ranks, the Medal of Honor Society. Please give them a big round of applause. We also welcome the friends and family who made Staff Sergeant Giunta into the man that he is, including his lovely wife, Jenny, and his parents, Stephen and Rosemary, as well as his siblings who are here. It was his mother, after all, who apparently taught him as a young boy in small town Iowa how to remove the screen from his bedroom window in case of fire. What she didn't know was that by teaching Sal how to jump from his bedroom and sneaking off in the dead of night, she was unleashing a future paratrooper who would one day fight in the rugged mountains of Afghanistan 7,000 miles away. Now, during the first of his two tours of duty in Afghanistan, Staff Sergeant Giunta was forced early on to come to terms with the loss of comrades and friends. His team leader at the time gave him a piece of advice. You just got to try to do everything you can when it's your time to do it. You've just got to try to do everything you can when it's your time to do it. Salvatore Giunta's time came on October 25th, 2007. He was a specialist then, just 22 years old. Sal and his platoon were several days into a mission in the Korangal Valley, the most dangerous valley in northeast Afghanistan. The moon was full. The light it cast was enough to travel by without using their night vision goggles. With heavy gear on their backs and air support overhead, they made their way single file down a rocky ridge crest along terrain so steep that sliding was sometimes easier than walking. They hadn't traveled a quarter mile before the silence was shattered. It was an ambush so close that the cracks of the guns and the whiz of the bullets were simultaneous. Tracer fire hammered the ridge at hundreds of rounds per minute. More, Sal said later, than the stars in the sky. The Apache gunships above saw it all, but couldn't engage with the enemy so close to our soldiers. The next platoon heard the shooting, but were too far away to join the fight in time. And the two lead men were hit by enemy fire and knocked down instantly. When the third was struck in the helmet and fell to the ground, Sal charged headlong into the wall of bullets to pull him to safety behind what little cover there was. As he did, Sal was hit twice, one round slamming into his body armor, the other shattering a weapon slung across his back. They were pinned down, and two wounded Americans still lay up ahead. So Sal and his comrades regrouped and counterattacked. They threw grenades, using the explosions as cover to run forward, shooting at the muzzle flashes still erupting from the trees. Then they did it again and again, throwing grenades, charging ahead. Finally, they reached one of their men. He'd been shot twice in the leg, but he had kept returning fire until his gun jammed. As another soldier tended to his wounds, Sal sprinted ahead, at every step meeting relentless enemy fire with his own. He crested a hill alone with no cover but the dust kicked up by the storm of bullets still biting into the ground. There he saw a chilling sight, the silhouettes of two insurgents carrying the other wounded American away, who happened to be one of Sal's best friends. Sal never broke stride. He leapt forward, he took aim, he killed one of the insurgents and wounded the other, who ran off. Sal found his friend alive but badly wounded. Sal had saved him from the enemy. Now he had to try to save his life. Even as bullets impacted all around him, Sal grabbed his friend by the vest and dragged him to cover. For nearly half an hour, Sal worked to stop the bleeding and help his friend breathe until the medevac arrived to lift the wounded from the ridge. American gunships worked to clear the enemy from the hills. And with the battle over, 1st Platoon picked up their gear and resumed their march through the valley. They continued their mission. It had been as intense and violent a firefight as any soldier will experience. By the time it was finished, every member of 1st Platoon had shrapnel or a bullet hole in their gear. Five were wounded, and two gave their lives. Sal's friend, Sergeant Joshua C. Brennan, and the platoon medic, Specialist Hugo V. Mendoza. Now, the parents of Joshua and Hugo are here today. And I know that there are no words that even 3 years later can ease the ache in your hearts or repay the debt that America owes to you. But on behalf of a grateful nation, let me express profound thanks to your son's service and their sacrifice. And could the parents of Joshua and Hugo please stand briefly? Mentioned, I like this guy, Sal. And as I found out myself when I first spoke with him on the phone and when we met him in the Oval Office today, he is a low-key guy, a humble guy, and he doesn't seek the limelight. And he'll tell you that he didn't do anything special, that he was just doing his job, that any of his brothers in the unit would do the same thing. In fact, he just lived up to what his team leader instructed him to do years before. You do everything you can. Staff Sergeant Junta, repeatedly and without hesitation, you charged forward through extreme enemy fire, embodying the warrior ethos that says, "I will never leave a fallen comrade." Your actions disrupted a devastating ambush before it could claim more lives. Your courage prevented the capture of an American soldier and brought that soldier back to his family. You may believe that you don't deserve this honor, but it was your fellow soldiers who recommended you for it. In fact, your commander specifically said in his recommendation that you lived up to the standards of the most decorated American soldier of World War II, Audie Murphy, who famously repelled an overwhelming enemy attack by himself for one simple reason. They were killing my friends. That's why Salvatore Giunta risked his life for his fellow soldiers, because they would risk their lives for him. That's what fueled his bravery. Not just the urgent impulse to have their backs, but the absolute confidence that they had his. One of them, Salas said, young men that he was with, he said, "They are just as much of me as I am. They are just as much of me as I am." So I would ask Sal's team, all of Battle Company who were with him that day, to please stand and be recognized as well. Thank you for your service. We're all in your debt, and I'm proud to be your commander-in-chief. So, be seated. These are the soldiers of our armed forces, highly trained, battle-hardened, each with specialized roles and responsibilities, but all with one thing in common. They volunteered. In an era when it's never been more tempting to chase personal ambition or narrow self-interest, they chose the opposite. They felt a tug. They answered a call. They said, "I'll go." And for the better part of a decade, they have endured tour after tour in distant and difficult places. They have protected us from danger. They have given others the opportunity to earn a better and more secure life. They are the courageous men and women serving in Afghanistan even as we speak. They keep clear focus on their mission: to deny safe haven for terrorists who would attack our country, to break the back of the Taliban insurgency, to build the Afghans' capacity to defend themselves. They possess the steely resolve to see their mission through. They are made of the same strong stuff as the troops in this room, and I am absolutely confident that they will continue to succeed in the missions that we give them in Afghanistan and beyond. After all, our brave servicemen and women and their families have done everything they've been asked to do. They have been everything that we've asked them to be. "If I'm a hero," Sal has said, "then every man who stands around me, every woman in the military, every person who defends this country is." And he's right. This medal today is a testament to his uncommon valor, but also to the parents and the community that raised him, the military that trained him, and all the men and women who served by his side. All of them deserve our enduring thanks and gratitude. They represent a small fraction of the American population, but they and the families who await their safe return carry far more than their fair share of our burden. They fight halfway around the globe, but they do it in hopes that our children and our grandchildren won't have to. They are the very best part of us. They are our friends, our family, our neighbors, our classmates, our co-workers. They are why our banner still waves, our founding principles still shine, and our country, the United States of America, still stands as a force for good all over the world. So please join me in welcoming Staff Sergeant Salvatore A. Giunta for the reading of the citation.
The President of the United States of America, authorized by Act of Congress, March 3rd, 1863, has awarded, in the name of Congress, the Medal of Honor to then Specialist Salvatore A. Junta, United States Army. Specialist Salvatore A. Junta distinguished himself conspicuously by gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty in action with an armed enemy in the Korangal Valley, Afghanistan, on October 25th, 2007. While conducting a patrol as team leader with Company B, 2nd Battalion Airborne, 503rd Infantry Regiment, Specialist Junta and his team were navigating through harsh terrain when they were ambushed by a well-armed and well-coordinated insurgent force. While under heavy enemy fire, Specialist Junta immediately sprinted towards cover and engaged the enemy. Seeing that his squad leader had fallen and believing that he had been injured, Specialist Junta exposed himself to withering enemy fire and raced towards his squad leader, helped him to cover, and administered medical aid. While administering first aid, enemy fire struck Specialist Junta's body armor and his secondary weapon. Without regard to the ongoing fire, Specialist Junta engaged the enemy before prepping and throwing grenades, using the explosions for cover in order to conceal his position. Attempting to reach additional wounded fellow soldiers who were separated from the squad, Specialist Junta and his team encountered a barrage of enemy fire that forced them to the ground. The team continued forward, and upon reaching the wounded soldiers, Specialist Junta realized that another soldier was still separated from the element. Specialist Junta then advanced forward on his own initiative. As he crested the top of a hill, he observed two insurgents carrying away an American soldier. He immediately engaged the enemy, killing one and wounding the other. Upon reaching the wounded soldier, he began to provide medical aid as his squad caught up and provided security. Specialist Junta's unwavering courage, selflessness, and decisive leadership while under extreme enemy fire were integral to his platoon's ability to defeat an enemy ambush and recover a fellow American soldier from the enemy. Specialist Salvatore A. Junta's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, Company B, 2nd Battalion Airborne, 503rd Infantry Regiment, and the United States Army.
This is Ron, your host, the only true conservative in the United States today, bidding adios to all the butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers out there. So I'm reminding you that the left has no authority, no power, and they can't win.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.